to be here. And can I just give a word of encouragement first before we talk a little bit about what we're doing and then before I share the word. I've been here a few times over the last 10 or so years, and I just want to say God is moving here. As I was sat there worshipping and stood there worshipping, I just had a really overwhelming sense that God is on the move here in Erdington in this church. And I hope this is not disrespectful to anyone at all, but you're on the move, hey? And certainly since the last time I was here, not only physically has the building changed, but it's grown. And all praise to God, of course, but all praise to you guys as well and to Pastor Eddie for the incredible growth and what God is doing here. So I just wanted to begin by encouraging you because it's good to be encouraged, hey? It's good to be encouraged. We all need encouragement from time to time. Well, first of all, thank you very much for letting us come, and thank you to Pastor Eddie and Simon for inviting us. We're so glad that we could have come and joined you and shared with you, to share with you all that's going on in Swaziland. Shall I just get our family up first? So let's get Joe and Kira and Maddie and... These are our children. So this is Joe. Let's go down in age order. Joe, Naomi, Kieran, and Madison. Actually, if we're going in age order, we go like this. And on behalf of our family, can I begin by saying a huge, huge thank you to this church for your incredible support to us over the last 10 months. We really do appreciate you, and maybe we haven't communicated as effectively to you as we'd like, and we're going to put that right when we go back. But we really do appreciate you, and we really do appreciate the support of Pastor Eddie and Simon and the leadership of this church and you as members of this church. And I hope this morning you'll be encouraged by what you hear, share, and again by the word of God. So thank you. Thank you. Yes? We thank them, don't we? Thank you. For those of you that don't know who we are and you're thinking, who are these strange people that have dressed like the family von Trapp off the Sound of Music? before we moved out to Swaziland last year, we were pastoring a church, the Elim Church in Woodend. So we know some of you from there and from the connections that we have with you. And then before that, we were pastoring in Staffordshire. And it was during, while we were pastoring in Staffordshire, 12 years ago, that God gave us our original vision, our original call to be moving and ministering in Africa. And 2 years now, Joe and I went out to visit South Africa and Swaziland to see where the Lord was directly calling us. And then in November 2011, we left our church here in Woodend. Sadly, we dearly loved our church here and felt very much at home here in Birmingham. But we felt God was calling us to go and move to Swaziland. And so November 2011, we left our home, we sold everything, and we moved out to Swaziland. And so that's where we now live. We're over here at the moment. We've been over here for 5 weeks, visiting family and friends and supporters and preaching in churches. And as well, we've had our choir from Swaziland. Our children's choir have been over here from Swaziland. And we've got More Blessing here, who's been here with the choir. They're over in Ireland. More Blessing, unfortunately, couldn't get to Ireland to go and tour in Ireland with the choir. But so she's had the fortunate task of being with my family this weekend. So could you also welcome More Blessing? So more blessing is one of our children from Swaziland. And I'm going to ask now the children, before Joe talks about Swaziland, I'm going to ask the children, Kieran and Madison and more blessing, to sing the national anthem for Swaziland, which certainly Kieran and Madison, I'm not sure about more blessing, have to sing every morning in their school. Okay, so can I have one of these mics? Because I think that would be really helpful. Fabulous. Fabulous. Okay, so if you face the front, okay? Okay, when you are, guys.
Gulu, gulu, tilati weti wusiso, temaswati, siati bonga, dongeti tlatla, si bonga ingwe yamare tu, livele tinsamba nembisula. Usi sati patina, dangele wane, kuwewe faso mandla wetu. Simige kushaka nipa, nongunge na gusmini. Simige usitunise, sinaka.
I forgot to say the words were up on the screen. I'm going to hand over now to Joe and Naomi, who are going to talk to you now about Swaziland, and hopefully we're going to get some PowerPoints as well.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to echo what Lloyd said about thanking you for your support to us. And I hope from this PowerPoint you'll get a glimpse of what it's like for us to serve in Swaziland. Just wondered, has anybody been to Swaziland before? No, wow. So it's all new.
Where is it?
I say that.
Oh, do you?
My
sorry.
PowerPoint. Okay. We're ready. They'll do the PowerPoint.
Swaziland is a stunningly beautiful country with mountains and mountainous landscapes.
It's situated in southern Africa. It's a landlocked country surrounded by South Africa and Mozambique. The country is about the same size as Wales. Now, we experience summer, November to December, and that can reach temperatures into the 40s. This is also when it rains, so it's quite strange. It's very hot, but it's also wet. But we can experience magnificent lightning storms. So we've had some real treats of watching lightning storms. It's been great. Now, their winter is May to July, and this is where they experience very little rain, and the land becomes very dry and gets scorched with the heat of the day. However, it's quite unusual because the nights go very cold, so we can have temperatures of 20s in the day, and then on a night we can have frost on the ground.
Here's a little snapshot of what Swaziland is actually like.
Okay, Swaziland is a country that's steeped in tribal tradition and ritualistic dancing. The majority of the country would be called Zionists, and this is where someone has a belief and experiences salvation in Jesus Christ. But however, due to their cultural traditions, they find it very hard to fully let go. So in day-to-day life, it may look like they're praying to the God who heals, but yet they will then connect at some other point to people that can contact the ancestors, and they may seek the witch doctor for medicines. So it's quite a difficult area to minister into.
It's a difficult life, particularly for women. Women are often seen walking miles carrying wood, bags on their heads. Bags on their heads, a box on their heads, and a baby strapped to their back. It is acceptable for men to own more than one wife.
Now, as generally, women and children are seen as belongings to the man. So physical, emotional, and sexual abuse is actually all too common. Praise God, the majority of children can gain an education now in Swaziland. But often we find that older children are experiencing education for the very first time. So you may get someone who's about 18 sitting in what we would know as like six-year-old classes. But they're so grateful to have that education. There's a massive shortage of teachers as HIV/AIDS takes its toll across Swaziland. It's a country that has the highest prevalence of HIV/AIDS. Currently, I think that 38% of the country are living with HIV/AIDS. So that has its toll on in schools because teachers are slowly, we're losing teachers, and also in hospitals, slowly nurses, doctors. So the country on a whole is struggling. And sadly, currently the situation for HIV/AIDS worsens. You may have heard the term child-headed households. This is where parents are no longer around. Either the children have literally had to bury their own parents, or a parent has left to seek work and just never returned. And we hear that story all too often. The average age for a child-led household in Swaziland is 11. Now here, we'd just like you to meet Zodwa. This is one of the young girls we had the pleasure of working with.
This is Zodwa. Many people would have turned their backs on Zodwa's situation. Most of her family, including her parents and a sister, died of HIV and AIDS, and she suffered the same disease. She had many more diseases, including seizure and psychological issues. And she came under our care in 2007 when she was going through many harsh conditions. I first heard about Zodwa through my mom because she was Zodwa's teacher, and then she used to insist that we must save food for Zodwa every day. And then my mom was the one who introduced Zodwa to Challenge Ministry because she was very sick after her parents passed out. My chains are gone, I've been set free by God, my Savior. Sadly, we had to say goodbye to Zodwa in July. She passed away of a disease that she'd had for a long, long time. And we were just so sad to say goodbye, but it was an amazing experience. She absolutely loved the Lord Jesus. We know she's in heaven. And actually, through her death, it actually brought the other children together in an amazing way. For example, some of the children came home from school and they just wanted to be with her. They were talking with her. They were massaging her hands and legs with oil. And it was such a beautiful picture. And we'd known Zodwa for 4 years. And in that time, she was a very kind and loving girl. She was good at sharing. Yes, she had her difficulties, but she was ill the whole time. And it was just a blessing to know her. And we can be reassured that we'll see her again in heaven. So we just want to thank all those who have supported us and in helping Zodwa. It's a real privilege to be able to support these children to have a better life, even a better ending in life. So we thank you so much for your support.
We miss you, Zodwa.
You are
just a real privilege to be able to work in children's lives like Zodwa's. But I want to give all praise to God because Zodwa is the only child that we've had to say goodbye to within Challenge Ministries, which is only down to his grace, his healings at times that we've seen many, many healings in the children. So we give him all the praise. So where are we?
Swazi housing looks something like this. A small round house, but a square building is more common now. Sometimes families of more than six people are found living in a building this size. This kitchen area is typically... This kitchen area is typically of many homes. There is so little food. Literally, homes we've been in is just like dead flies on the table. It's actually unbelievable that people live like this today.
Yeah, people are living in situations like you saw, alongside such horrendous illnesses. And I've already mentioned that Swaziland is famed for having the highest HIV statistic in the world. Without outside help, it's impossible for them to strive to do more. They need the help to help themselves. So often, there's many, many mission teams that come from around the world who give hope to such communities, practically like building vegetable gardens, sometimes providing medical care, and often just simply encouragement to let them know they're not forgotten, to let them know that actually, with a little help, they can make a life that's better for themselves. So Challenge Ministries, you may have heard, that's the ministry that we serve under in Swaziland. It began in 1997 with Kevin Ward seeing the need to have a drop-in for street children. This soon developed into a drug rehab as he realised that these street children were sniffing anything that they could get their hands on to take them outside of that pain that they were experiencing. So therefore they contacted Teen Challenge, which I'm sure many of you have heard of, and hence part of the name, it's Challenge Ministries. And now today, in 2012, it not only provides a way out for people with drug addictions, because we have a men's centre and also a women's centre. That women's centre is also a place for abused women. As I mentioned, you know, women are seen as possessions, and there's a lot of abuse that goes on. They also have children's homes. There's a lot of community developments, preschool training, setting up of church plants, and sustainability and enterprise initiatives.
We just want to mention two areas that we really see God blessing and believe that they're key to the future of Swaziland.
And the first is ICBC, In Community by Community. This is where Challenge Ministries gets involved with a community, helping to draw people together that are able to help themselves. So needs in one community, they might differ from one to another. But essentially, the vision is to plant a church, to raise up a local pastor. And from there, so they have a place of worship and they have a pastor. From there, the community is supported. And that might look like feeding programs. It might look like children's homes. It may even be setting up of a school, provision of clean water, health provision, whatever the needs are. But the vision is to help that community reach that goal. So Challenge Ministries very much believes that we're a supportive and equipping role to help the local Swazi people to have the life that they deserve. This is, again, where mission teams come out and they play a vital role in the ICBCs, just working alongside local Swazi people, encouraging them, you know, keeping up morale and showing them that they can actually have a good life. So we currently have 5 of these ICBCs throughout Swaziland, and the vision is to have 60.
The first ICBC is at Hawani, which is where we live for 9 months. It holds homes of 42 children, as well as a life skills school where students can study the Bible and life skills to help them learn, help them find environment. Employment. This is where it's individuals who have been through the men rehabs and the women's programs can come after their program is finished.
Now the church there, as I said, there's a church plant at each of these ICBCs. The one at Hawani is very vibrant and active in the community, and they've been seeing tremendous miracles. One of the areas they've been seeing them in is it's a polygamous society, so men often will have more than one wife. But men have been coming to faith, and they've been believing on the word of God and acknowledging that their relationships aren't biblical. And so they've had, it was an 84-year-old man this last year, deciding that he wanted to do it God's way, and he wanted to commit before God, essentially marrying his wife in the eyes of God for the first time. And there's a lot of that going on at the moment. So the church are very excited. They're seeing great things. So that's wonderful.
Each of the children's home are doing really well at producing most of their own food, fruit, vegetables, chicken, rabbit, etc. And in the last year, they've also been blessed with an abundance of good produce at the local supermarkets. And the supermarkets are buying from them.
Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. They're working in their own gardens to provide food for themselves. And more blessing will be, you know, witness to this. But God has blessed the produce, so much so that they have an abundance. And they've been able to contact the local supermarkets and sell it to them. So they're reaping that reward also. So it's just exciting to see the enterprise that's going on in our children, in our children's homes. It's wonderful. And that's what it's all about. It's all about empowering, wherever we can, to empower those that have little to bring about plenty in their lives and in others too. So the children at Hawani Farm, I have to say, are truly, truly awesome. The Hawani Farm has, I don't know if we mentioned yet, 42 children who we've had the pleasure of living with. And they're just so awesome. Their lives have been one of hurt. They've come from places of abandonment. Some of the things that some of them have gone through, you just would not believe. To see them now, though, this is what's so awesome. To see them now, you wouldn't know. You really wouldn't know that some of them have been through the most devastating circumstances. Because each one of them, and it would be lovely if they were all here, the whole choir, but each one of them just testifies of what God's done in their life. And it's just incredible. Often I will be chatting with some of them, and I am just humbled because they're able to forgive. They're able to seek God's strength through it all. And often I'm sat there thinking, some of the things I carry around in life, and that these children are testifying that God can heal the deepest hurt, and God can bring people to a place of total forgiveness for what some of the people have done in their lives. So they're just awesome, and they really speak to me a message of hope, a message of the future of Swaziland. If these children can be raised up, if these children can grow up knowing God, who is God, and all that means, then there's a hope for Swaziland. So that was the first big area, the ICBCs. The second that I want to just finish on is the sustainability projects, which obviously, logically, you know, without sustainability, it's just people going in and helping. We need people to be able to sustain their own lives. And I want to tell you about a place called Belembu. Belembu is in the mountainous area, the north of Swaziland. I'm not sure, 1997, it became a derelict town. The king decided to shut down all mining in Swaziland. And as a result, everything was closed. It became a derelict town. People moved out because there was nothing there. But then in 2006, Kevin Ward and some other gentlemen felt God calling them to look at this land. And he led them to purchase this whole town. So that was in 2006. The vision for Belembu was to have a self-sustaining community so that it could produce and care for orphans and vulnerable children. So today, and we've visited it probably about four times just to feel the hope that's in this place. It's a vibrant, it's a self-sustaining. It produces honey. They've got their own beekeeping. Bottled water. There's a spring running right through Belembu. There's a bakery, a dairy. Timber production. They're moving into producing handicrafts to sell to the West and places like that. And they also care for 300 orphaned and vulnerable children. I wish that I could take you all to this place, because to me it just signifies hope. It really does. You just go there and it's just so vibrant, and people are serving and people are loving, and the mission there is just fantastic. So Belembu is just a big story of hope and proof to me, and hopefully to you, that a community can be transformed. And I'm just going to finish now on a final testimony. We have many, many testimonies from the children that we've worked with. I'm just going to finish on a testimony of Mandla. So I hope you enjoy and really thank you for listening. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Nurse Jane Bradshaw. I'm an Ealing missionary serving in Swaziland. I want to tell you about some miracles that have been happening in Challenge Ministries. One of them is about our boy Mandla, who just had 3 months to live. French Kamala was born with cerebral palsy, but he also resulted in severe malnutrition because he was left outside with the dog. He wasn't fed, he wasn't cared for, he had no shelter. And as a result, he couldn't use his hands, he couldn't use his legs, and he was very, very thin. He spent 3 months in the hospital. He was so severely traumatized that it took weeks to straighten his legs from a fetal position. Doctors stated that he would not live very long. This is Franz today. He's able to walk, feed and dress himself. He's a living testimony to God's power. His new name is Mandla, meaning strength and power.